at a respectful distance in front of one who, to judge by the way the crowd parted for him, was even holier. He was tubby and red-eyed, as if he hadn't slept for some time. Over the standard robe he wore a red cloak with patterns in gold thread, now crusted with dirt. He listened gravely as Otto spoke. Then he walked over to Lothar's horse and peered at Kin. Finally, he reached out and pinched her sharply on the thigh. In the circumstances, she decided against any action. Lothar dismounted and fell on one knee in front of the priest, one hand on his heart. He spoke eloquently. To Kin, he sounded like a salesman. She tried to raise silver.
"I can be of little help," the Shand reported. "Latin is a ceremonial language, like a religious all-speak. This is one of the early German tongues, I think. The fat man is possibly the local bishop, and this is a trial. What appears to be at stake is whether Lothar keeps you or hands you over."
"What about the heroic rescue? It's wearying, you know, constantly being tensed up, waiting for one's friends to plummet out of the sky with lasers blazing."
"I had intended using your stunner, but it was not in your suit," said Silver. "No doubt you lost it on the floating island. Plan B also will not work. Marco intended to swoop down wearing two belts to carry you off, but Lothar's men maintain a constant skywatch. For dragons, do you think?"
"What's Plan C, then?" There was a sigh.
"Marco intends to land and hack and slash at everyone."
"That's a good plan," said Kin.
"He is mad. The Norsemen have a term, berserker. It was designed for Marco."
Lothar stopped speaking. The bishop looked down at him, then up at Kin. He beckoned. After a few seconds, she slid off the horse's back, the cloak slipping from her as she landed. There was a rustle of voices from the crowd. The bishop nodded and waddled off, beckoning Kin to follow him. The crowd pressed in silently behind her. They went between the holy buildings to a stamped earth yard, full of long shadows in the sinking sunlight. Part of the yard was roofed. Under the roof were bars. "I'm about to be locked up, Silver," she hissed. "Where the hell are you?"
"A wooded eminence outside the town. The bars do not look alarmingly thick. They may trust to them to guard you."
"Silver, how can you see the bars?"
"Marco is behind you in the crowd. He is giving me eyewitness reports. Do not look for him."
The bishop stopped by the middle cage and swung open the door. When Kin stopped, there was a gentle prod of a sword in her back. She stepped in. The lock was primitive but big. The bars did not look alarmingly thick, according to Silver. They were 6-inch posts. What was normally kept there that needed 6-inch thick bars? They left her sitting in the dirt and walked away. After a while, the last of the crowd left the compound, leaving a group of bowmen who spread out, watching the sky. Presently, a man brought her a bowl of scraps, dropped them within her reach, and bolted. A few stars lit up. Beyond the compound's walls came the rattle of carts and many shouts. "Silver?" she said querulously. There was a heart-stopping pause before the reply came back.
"Ah, Kin, I am now better informed. Your precise status is still to be determined. Your friend Lothar has at least saved you from arbitrary execution. I have also learned more about the current disc situation. Would you be interested in hearing it? We will not collect you until it is fully dark. I doubt if those bowmen can better Marco's excellent night vision."
"Go ahead and amuse me," said Kin, wrinkling her nose over the food bowl. It could make me sick, she decided. It looks as though it's already done so to someone else.
"This is all exceptionally interesting," said Silver. "There is no doubt among the populace that this is either the return of the Christ or the end of the disc, or both. Fires are raging. Our ship, you understand. There have been strange signs in the sky. The town is divided between travellers hastening to the Advent and those fleeing from it."
Kin listened to the cries outside. "What are they fleeing for?" she asked.
"He's a very choosy god."
"How did you find out about this?" There was a pause. At last Silver said,
"Promise me that if we get back home you won't reveal the information gathering system we, evolved. I could be subject to severe disciplinary action from the All-Planet Committee on Anthropological Research Procedures."
"My lips are sealed," promised Kin.
"Marco slugs a likely-looking subject, flies him over here, and knocks the shit out of him until I've heard enough."
Kin grinned. "It's not like drawing circles in the sand, is it?"
Much more efficient, though.